Hello, Brad here. Just to say we're super proud that the Friday 5pm podcast is sponsored by the Malt Miller, the UK's best home brew store.
We use the Malt Miller for all of our homebrew experiments, as well as tapping them up for advice and binging on their awesome YouTube channel all the time.
That's why whenever we release a homebrew video, we put a recipe kit live on the Malt Miller, so you can brew with the exact same amazing ingredients that we did. The same ingredients used by pro brewers.
So alongside the Malt Miller's nitro-flushed hops, cold-stored yeast and milled-to-order malts, you can pick up recipe kits for our 5 Points Best Bitter, Russian River West Coast IPA, and now the fastest beer in the world, a hazy session IPA that goes from grain to glass in less than 48 hours.
Sign up to their newsletter at tinyurl.com/Malt Miller to get 5% off your first order. With the Malt Miller's amazing customer service and Johnny's 48-hour recipe, you could order the ingredients on a Monday and be drinking the beer by the weekend.
Speaking of which, it's Friday.
It's 5pm.
So enjoy this week's Friday 5pm podcast. Happy Friday, beer geeks. It's your gateway to the weekend, which is a ramble chat with Johnny and with Brad. How are we doing, Bradders?
I'm all right, man. Apart from, like, we were filming yesterday, I've managed to injure one of my paws. One of my tootsies, my big Tony, is really, really hurting today. I don't know quite what's happened. I've been wearing very flat deck shoes, which boating shoes, which he told me no respectable yachtsman would actually wear. He said they were, I can't remember what you said, but you said they were like,
well,
for show.
For a start, they're made of suede, so why would you wear something that wasn't waterproof on a boat?
I think they're more of a rough hide than a suede, but I take your point. They are actually kind of waterproof. Well, they're not waterproof. No leather shoe is waterproof, but they are very rugged, Johnny, as can be.
So rugged that we probably walked a mile yesterday, and your foot literally is broken.
I don't know what's happened to it. I've never experienced this before. I wear all kinds of different shoes. I don't really like trainers very much because they make my feet too hot. But usually I wear leather shoes.
You say this like this is a thing. Trainers should keep your feet cool. Trainers are designed for sport.
They don't keep my
feet
cool.
I feel like a rough-hewn suede shoe is probably going to keep your feet hotter.
No. But these are luxury, mate. These are real nice. Sperry Topsiders, real, real nice. But yeah, for some reason, they've broken my foot. I don't know what's happened or whether potentially I was abducted in the night and the aliens have played footsie with me or something. I don't know what's going on, mate.
I think that's what they do. That's all they came here for.
Footsie
with YouTubers.
That's it. So, yeah.
In fact, they probably made a YouTube video. Whatever the YouTube equivalent is on their planet, there's now a video of them playing footsie with your unconscious body.
With a hairy man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hairy human earth man. Wow. Terrifying.
Every time before we start these podcasts, I'm a little bit worried about whether we've got enough stuff to talk about.
Oh, no, it's infinite
and it
stuff.
Just, it's so quick for us to get so into the weeds that I can't actually remember what we even planned.
Well, exactly. We were like, oh, we haven't got that much to talk about this week necessarily. Although we have, because we've both been to a big beer festival, which we'll get onto. But we've always got loads to talk about, mate. That's why this format's so great. We can just talk about nonsense. Brilliant, isn't it?
Maybe. And long may it continue.
Other than
your foot, have you had a lovely week? Did you have a hangover after LCBF?
Didn't have a hangover after LCBF because I went to both Friday sessions. I said hello to quite a lot of people, some lovely patrons and just other people that were real nice, and saw some friends, met some new friends, hung out with some old friends, all the rest of it. But I had to leave an ungodly hour before. I think I left at 9 p.m. or before 9 p.m. because I had to get up in the morning and drive to a beach just outside of Whitstable to one of my best friend Tony's wedding. Tony and Sarah.
Not as in your toe.
No. But yeah, it's funny. I've just called my toe Big Tony, which goes back to another toe injury that happened with Tony and some of my other friends in New York many years ago, when we got lost walking around Brooklyn. But we got very, very lost, and I got quite angry that nobody knew where we were going. I think it was before Google Maps was a thing, and my big toe really hurt. So maybe there's Maybe I have a history of this. I think it was the same Big Toe, actually, thinking about it.
I think it's Tony who's... Yeah. He's messing with your toe when you're not looking.
Mate, could be. Anyway, I went to this wedding, which was the most idyllic, incredible wedding I've been to. It was in like a sort of shaker-style beach house that was like wooden, like a huge, giant beach house. With like amazing gardens that were like sort of Teletubby mountains and like weeping willow type trees everywhere, overlooking this very unique bit of beach, which has got, I can't remember what they call it, the cut or something. Basically, the tide comes in from both angles and it's made this giant sandbar that you can walk out for like a mile at low tide. You can just walk straight out on this sandbar and it's, you know, like... You're like a mile out at sea or something crazy, but your feet are you're only like up to your ankles. It's insane. It's really, really beautiful. And we were drinking.
Sounds dangerous.
Well, it's amazing. We were doing a bit of that. We did a bit of swimming, although I forgot my trunks, so I did a bit of paddling. I rolled up my linen suit and waded in. But everyone else went full on swimming, wild swimming. I didn't fancy it, my man from Del Monte suit. But we were drinking lovely beer provided by Beer Shop Folkestone. Thanks, Lee. And it was awesome. It was awesome. So, yeah, lots of great beer to be had there, as well as at LCBF. You were hosting at LCBF.
Well, not the whole thing, yeah. I was hosting the talks table, the kitchen counter talks table, which was a misnomer because there was no kitchen, there was no counter. There were talks and there were tables. But, yeah, so I was hosting basically breweries from around the festival could book slots to do talks for people. So if they had a special beer release, if they wanted to talk about a specific topic, if they wanted to, I don't know, just sort of introduce themselves to the world. A lot of the sort of newer breweries did a tasting and just to sort of say, hey, this is who we are, this is what we're kind of about. And although I was really worried people wouldn't want to sit down at a festival, actually, people love to sit down at a festival because you're on your feet the whole time, generally. So I sort of told, I was about to say told some jokes, that's very much not what happened. People laughed at me, but I wasn't telling jokes, to try and get people in to sit down. And then we had lots of great talks, including a talk from Siren about Time Hop, so I got to get involved in that, and we tasted through all four beers and then hopefully sent everybody up to the Siren bar to taste other Siren beers and indeed the Time Hop beers again, because they're great. And lots of other lovely talks. We had some great barrel-aged beers from Turning Point, which is not a brewery I tasted any beers from. That was excellent. It's a rum barrel-aged barley wine. So I found myself just shouting rum barrel, oh dear. I mean, that's how it was by the end of the evening. Rum barrel-aged barley wine at people to try and get them to sit down. And yeah, we had a lovely time. Although I didn't get to explore the festival quite as much as you, I did get to go see my boy Baron, because he'd won the Raise the Bar, which I was judging, and he was there serving his beers that were tasting delicious, and went to see Beak and Burning Sky and a couple of other people that I don't generally get to drink that much of. Now I sort of live in the sticks. Did you have any highlights?
I didn't drink much American stuff, but I drank like a really cool sour from Grimm, who were over from New York. Well, they weren't over, but there was a guy pouring from... He had a micro pub in Peterborough, so near... We were talking about Winchelsea and Straw Bear Festival and all this sort of stuff that's sort of weird, kind of, yeah, like Morris dancing and all this sort of madness. But yeah, I had this really nice sort of lemon sherbet-y sour, which I really enjoyed. To be honest, mate, I drank so much Lost and Branded Keller Pils because it was so blimmin' hot. That was...
Yeah, it's also the sign of a real beer geek, goes to festivals and ends up drinking a lot of lager because your palate's kind of like, woo, I'm not sure how much of this I've got in me.
No. It was, I mean...
I mostly drank Imperial Stout.
Did you?
Which was a mistake in retrospect.
What else did I have? I mostly drank a lot of pills, actually. So I had, like, from Kernel, I had their pills as well, which I think it was pills. Yeah, it was tasting pretty good. But
it was an unusual hop, wasn't it? What was it? It was a hop I hadn't tasted before, and it was very, very tasty, kind of.
Yeah, it had something to it. It had some magic, Kernel magic to it.
Yeah. I want to say Ella, but I've obviously had Ella before, but it was a name a bit like that. And they also had their apricot saison, beer de saison apricot, which was absolutely freaking stunning.
Yeah, yeah. Can we start calling Evan potentially Kurt the Colonel, because if he like sort of Colonel Sanders with his special sauce? Is it special sauce? Does KFC have special sauce?
No, I think they have a secret blend of spices.
That's it. The secret blend of
spices.
Somebody
else has a special sauce.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like his secret blend of spices in that lager, which was quite interesting. that was very strained. My apologies for taking down that route. But yeah, I had a great evening. And I'll tell you what I did enjoy, which is not something that everyone's privy to, but I went in the Brewer's Lounge. And they had a really good spread, Johnny. I had 3 ice creams, I believe. I had a mini twister.
So you're the reason they ran out of ice creams the next day?
No, mate. No. Everyone was indulging in the ice cream because it was so friggin' hot. But yeah, I had 3 ice creams. And I had, I think, 2 bags of Monster Munch.
And that's dinner.
And that was my dinner. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Probably should have got some
You
dinner.
Didn't go to the taco stand?
Didn't see a taco stand, mate. Taco
oh,
stand.
Dude, there were some amazing tacos.
No, I did see a taco stand. I think when I got there, there was no one at it. So, oh, shit. No, I tell you what I did have, because I think you recommended it or someone recommended it, was the, like, donut with pulled pork.
Donut pap.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty weird. But, yeah, it was interesting. It was good. Did you like it? You enjoyed it, didn't you?
I mean, I'm not generally into that kind of thing. I find that kind of trashy Instagram-inspired fusions of like sweet and savory food annoying. But I thought that because I think they salted and sugared the bun, and
they
it was
sure
a very
had.
Good donut. And then it wasn't like pulled pork, like barbecue pulled pork. It was like sort of a spiced shoulder of pork that had been done over fire. So it was quite savory in itself. I thought it was surprisingly well balanced, like a good pastry stout. It's like that's going to be too much, and then I ate it, and I was like, "It's quite good." Did you not like it?
I did, but I thought it was maybe too heady a combo. Maybe because you're like less of a meat eater than I am, so like when you do eat it, it's more of an occasion. But for me, I was like, "This is a little bit too insane. It's too sweet." Because already pulled pork can be, you know, with barbecue sauce and stuff, can be like a bit over the top, too sweet for me. Sometimes.
Wait, did you have barbecue sauce?
I can't even remember, mate. It tasted a little bit barbecue. It had something in there. It was just whatever was given to me. I didn't.
I definitely didn't have any sauce. It was like barbecued pulled pork without any sauce, really. I think there was something a bit spicy in there, and obviously smoke from the smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember a sauce. Maybe you got something slightly different.
I don't know. I had it slightly later in the day than you, so maybe they'd whipped up some more sauce or something.
I mean, we should also know that I was absolutely bloody starving, because the festival starts at 11:30. I was doing talks all the way till 3:30, so I had my lunch after several pints and at 3:30 in the afternoon. And I could have chewed on like the canvas of the tent that they were serving from, and I'd have been like, "This is pretty good."
You did a Brad, didn't you? That's what you did.
I had been a Brad. I'd skipped the meal.
Yeah,
In fact, I've picked out my comment from this week's video, and I'm even looking at a comment from somebody talking about how Brad eat Brad, eat before drinks.
Yeah, I saw
says
that
Rich
as well.
Harper.
Yeah, I was going to be my comment, but yeah, thanks, Rich. I am aware that it's best practice to eat before you consume.
There even
alcohol.
I remember I used to that's irrelevant. There was a bus stop near my house.
Yeah.
Back when I lived with some friends in my early 20s in London, and there was a those revolving posters, you know?
Yeah,
it wasn't that long ago, my early 20s. We were living in the future already. And one of them was always, it never changed for like the 6 years that I lived there. It was a poster that was literally, I guess, funded by the mayor saying, "Eating isn't cheating."
Wow.
Yeah, that's how important it is. Boris Johnson, because he was the idiot in charge at the time, He knows that you got to eat before you drink.
Would you?
And he knows it so well. He was funding posters. Mm.
Would you take that man's advice on cheating? He's a big old fucking cheater in every respect, isn't he?
True.
Cheating on his wife. Cheating on the great British public. I heard. Isn't he on holiday again? Because he wanted to stay in power so he could like continue community. But he's on like his second holiday in 3 weeks.
I mean,
or
I guess he just wanted the pay and the access to Checkers or something, didn't he?
Yeah. Apparently he's moving. He's in South London already, but I think he might be moving closer to me which is, well, right. When I say close to me,
just keep an eye on whether you're eating before you're
Dulwich, which is not that close to me, but it's closer than Camberwell, which is I think where he currently lives. But yeah, we don't want him. We don't want him. He can bugger off anyway. So yeah,
and you don't want Boris Johnson, and you don't want his advice about how to avoid hangovers or being very drunk.
No, neither of that.
I mean, he's a man who appears eternally drunk anyway.
Yeah. I also watched a clip, right, today of Rishi Sunak, who's another toss pot. He was talking about, it was on This Morning, and the presenters were asking him what he ate in McDonald's, as if that guy eats in McDonald's. And they were talking about what he eats for breakfast when he goes with his family to McDonald's. Imagine that, first of all, a billionaire-ess and Rishi and their family going and queuing up.
Just rocking up.
Drive-through McDonald's. Don't think so. But he said he eats breakfast wrap, which is a discontinued item for like 2 years. So he fucking lied. He could have just said, actually, I don't eat McDonald's. That's for poor people or whatever. But he didn't. He
bloody lied.
He lied about it. I'm like, mate, why are you even lying about eating McDonald's, you toss? Piss off. Anyway, so
did he sort of say
today,
like, oh, I had it like last week?
Yeah. They were talking about what he eats when he goes to McDonald's, and it was like,
Dishy Rishi, how far you've fallen.
Right? This is the nail in the coffin, Johnny. We're gonna get him on this one, mate. He's you know, he's done himself in. He's lost the any sort of gammons that might have been behind him. Now they're very much gonna be like, mate, you don't even know what you're talking about with the Mackie D's there, son. Damn liar. How can we trust you now? You know?
What do you have when you go to McDonald's for breakfast?
I'm a man who's got a bit of a McDonald's problem, so I do enjoy a McDonald's. But I haven't had a McDonald's in over a month, Johnny. I'm going cold McDonald's turkey. I've had no McDonald's in a month. I'm trying to lose
should have been like cold chicken sandwich.
Cold chicken sandwich. Yeah. Much better. But yeah. What I were in a dream scenario, Johnny, I would be eating a sausage and egg McMuffin. Potentially, I'd put the hash brown inside it. Although I can leave or take a hash brown. Normally, I give it to my girlfriend because she loves a hash brown to the extent where she might.
And that's just the kind of guy you are.
Yeah, I'm like,
I bet Rishi when he goes doesn't share his damn hash brown.
Right? You know it. You know he's that fictional hash brown that he's never eaten in his life. You know he wouldn't share that with his kids. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yep. I haven't been to McDonald's. I can't remember the last time I went to McDonald's, but yeah. I remember the sausage and egg McMuffin being very good.
It's banging.
But I just get a Big Mac anyway.
For breakfast? You can't have Big Mac for breakfast. What time are you rolling up? I think it starts at 11:30, Big Mac.
This summer, I'm going to be hosting talks at the Manchester, Bristol and London craft beer festivals, giving festival goers the chance to attend tutored tastings, rare beer pours, meet the brewers and even guided tours of the bars. These three festivals are the highlights of my events calendar, featuring some of the world's best breweries with delicious restaurant pop-ups, great music and a really welcoming party atmosphere. It's the third year I've been hosting the We Are Beer Tastings table, but for the first time, I'm delighted to offer all of our listeners, viewers and Patreons £5 off a ticket when you use the code CBC5. Just hit the link in the description to buy. See you there. But no, I think there's a crossover now. If I remember the last time I went, you could get main course stuff earlier, I swear. Or maybe they made breakfast go later.
They've made breakfast slightly later, yeah. They were talking.
Yeah, so there was a crossover.
There was talk on the dark web, Johnny, of them making some breakfast items, just being able to buy them all day.
Like all day breakfast?
Yeah. So like the McMuffins and stuff like that. There was talk a while back of that happening. And then I think COVID happened. They were like, nah, not a good idea.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll be the second to know because Simon Real Ale Guide will 100% be reviewing the all-day breakfast from McDonald's so that we don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
And on that note, I'm going to bring it back to beer.
Go on.
So this week's video was, of course, you know, I have to say that I regret this video a little bit, because what I really wish we'd done is made it a hype train episode with our own beers, because we do hype them up. You know, when we finish, we're always happy with the beer, with the possible exception of my pastry stout and the Belgian double, where we weren't in love with those beers. So we should have made it a hype train. You know, that would have been a cool bit of almost parody to do, but we didn't. So it's just a straight up taster with the amazing Carl from Clawhammer Supply, who really enjoyed the beers.
He did. I don't think he was lying either. I mean, I really enjoyed the beers as well. It's just great, man, to think that, you know, we've made those beers and you've kept, like, they weren't stored in the back of a moving vehicle mid heat wave for once. And they all tasted banging, like really, really, genuinely very, very, very good. As good as Kyle's that he brought over as well, I would just like to add. I thought they were amazing. And I, you know, specifically loved the Cloudwater one. I thought was amazing. Brad's breakfast was great. I liked your wedding cake. I thought wedding cake was great. But it had gone a bit kind of Black Forest Gatto, hadn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, if that had been like a normal Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Judging it as a normal Imperial Stout, you'd be like, that's tasty. The oxidation's been nice to it. It's created a kind of cherry thing. But we put a lot of very expensive hazelnuts and a lot of very expensive cacao nibs in there. And we didn't really get much character from them. So it really didn't age well. It was pretty good fresh.
Yeah,
but it really has died a death, or at least that bottle's really died a death. I am going to crack another one to see if it was just that bottle. If I bottled that badly, somehow way too much oxygen got in.
We'd have been better off munching those hazelnuts as we were eating it, like for real, just munching them. Do you think?
I snacked on many a hazelnut while I was making that. I also matching it.
Do you think there's some sort of mileage in making pastry stouts and then matching them to some of the, well, like just food matches essentially, but like some of the extraordinary sort of pastry sort of items that we might sort of go for? Like I feel like you could really elevate stuff by just making it even sillier by what you're eating. So whether it's that pork donut bun thing with you know, whatever, some mad sweet donut.
It's a bit like dunking your fries in your milkshake at
exactly.
McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Real dirty, down and dirty stuff.
Real.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's a video in that. That could be good fun. Mm. Comments, Bradley, did you find any?
I like the one from Rich where he was saying, I must eat food.
you'll read it, but you won't actually listen.
No. I'm intrigued by Greg Sheehan's it's log og, it's better than bad, it's good, which is in relation to Kyle's log beer video, which I must admit I haven't actually watched it yet, so I need to catch up on log beer chat, and then I'm sure I can come back to
and see what that's about, elucidate that. Yeah,
but yeah, that sounded quite interesting when he was explaining about how someone else had made a beer with a log they'd found, and then they'd sent it to him, and he'd done the same. David Silver said, I brewed Brad's version of pastry stout. It came out good. The older it gets, the better it gets. But like you say, it needs more vanilla and more cinnamon. So there you go. Even from the up to melts, Johnny, David wanted more.
I'd probably agree. I do kind of think once you've got that base, that rich, unctuous base, you can layer lots more.
Hmm.
But you don't have too much cinnamon. That is a dangerous game to play. But by all means, add an extra stick on the recipe if you're thinking about doing it.
Takes us back to... So I was just going to go interject with the cinnamon challenge, Johnny. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
people
yeah.
snorting cinnamon, and then it was just very...
No, eating cinnamon, not snorting it.
Eating it, snorting it. I saw people snorting it.
Were people snorting it?
Yeah. I mean, that is...
I mean, that's
that
not the challenge, but it's also stupid.
It's totally stupid, mate. Yeah, I saw people snorting it. And then it just puff out like a big sort of bellowing smoke of cinnamon, and then they looked like they were going to keel over and die from the intensity of the experience. Yeah, cinnamon challenge madness. Let's not bring that back. That was terrifying.
Yeah, we're not doing a video on that. That's for sure. My favorite comment came from Party Time Brewing.
Oh yeah,
good. Who said, "Damn it, I was working on an investigative report on how all your videos were just Hollywood magic. Now that Carl's visited, I guess it's legit." So yeah, I mean, this is something that we've wrestled with, and because obviously the easy thing to do is, even if the beer was bad, would be to pretend that it was good. Because, you know, these recipes that we're coming up with, at the end of the day, it really is the ingredients you buy and the process you use that makes a big difference. The recipes, you know, there's lots of, like, all pale malt Citra beers out there. Some are terrible and some are wonderful, and it's down to the brewer and their hands and their approach and the ingredients that they buy. So we could sort of just be like, yeah, well, if it's bad, you messed it up. But we genuinely don't. You know, where things have gone genuinely wrong, like with the Russian River collab, where that first version wasn't very good, we had to do some pretty big tweaks. With the pastry stout in that video with Carl from Clawhammer, we were very open about one of them not being up to scratch. And then obviously, famously, with me storing a beer at 40 degree heat for 3 days, we admitted that wasn't great and didn't lie on camera, even though we were pretty sure it would have been nice had that storage situation not occurred. So yeah, it is legit. And hopefully it comes across that way as well. Hopefully you all trust that we're doing this for real. Whether that will continue, because we're about to attempt a lager, and I'm super nervous about that. But with a lager, that you're going to be able to see to some extent whether it's good, because is it going to be clear or not?
Yeah, because there's no hiding with a lager, mate. That's for sure.
No hiding with a lager. Mm. Yeah, and you know, maybe one day. I think hopefully the plan is eventually to get some of our best recipes contract brewed so that people can try them, so actually release them. But we've no plans on the table yet. But that would be really nice to do, to show people that these recipes are great, and in the right hands they can be great, and maybe there's something in that. But we're not opening a brewery, Bradley. Before you get too excited.
Come on, one day I'll weigh you down. One day. Way down.
I make as little money as it is. You know, I don't need to start losing money hand over fist by opening a brewery, which is very much what brewers are in the position of at the moment. Anyway, on that deliciously upbeat bombshell, let's call it quits there. Let's claw back some of the average time, because last week's was pushing an hour. So yeah, that's all we've got time for this week. Actually, next week we don't have an upload. We're taking a little break because we've been working very, very hard on The Secret Project, which is a secret feature-length documentary coming out in the middle of September. So no episode next week, but there will be a Friday 5 p.m. and there will be a great episode on its way after that. But I need some space, Bradley, to get this right, to get it down.
Right.
I did send you the first 30 seconds of it, and you were quite excited, right?
Loved it. Yeah, it's got quite a different feel to what we used to. We've got an actual cameraman, Johnny. I mean, we are cameramen, but now we can sort of focus on being front of camera and getting directed a bit for this one. So it's been a really lovely experience. It's been great.
It has. And we can't wait to announce it. It won't be long now before we can. We're just getting all the sign-offs and everything in order, and indeed ensuring we can actually get it done in time is another big thing. So we're nearly there. We'll tell you when it is there. Otherwise, we'll see you next Friday for a Friday 5 p.m. and then the following Wednesday for a big upload all about beer and food. The Bubble and Friday 5 p.m. podcasts are brought to you by the nerds behind YouTube's Craft Beer Channel. You can watch over 400 mini documentaries at youtube.com/thecraftbeerchannel. And if you love what we do, support us via Patreon and get access to merchandise and our amazing Discord forum, a positive and welcoming space for everyone who loves beer, food, and homebrewing. Love and beer.